Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
A flash of bright red catches my eye against the drab brown of the woods where I've taken my pup for a walk in the freezing temperatures. The freezing temperatures that make me wish for a blanket of snow just to take the edge off the dreariness. Now, I've only just passed that threshold into the stage of life where birds truly become interesting. Internet memes tell me this is a thing, that somehow in midlife, even those who never previously took much notice find birds to have become the most fascinating creatures they've ever seen. So now, well north of 50, I can say, I'm there. So one day you hear some bird song and it's just a bit of background noise, and then pretty soon you need to know exactly who that was singing unseen in the backyard. You don't have to have reached a certain age, though, to know that the flash of red is a cardinal, one of two songbirds I previously could have confidently named on sight, the other one being the blue jay. When European colonizers arrived in North America, they were fascinated by this dramatic bird, unlike any they had ever seen before, and they called it, aptly, redbird, as do many indigenous peoples still. Until they came across another red bird, the scarlet tanager, and they had to rethink. According to legend, the red of this bird reminded them of the color of the robes of the cardinals of the Catholic Church, the senior priests you know from the movie last year, who are advisors to the Pope and also choose the Pope. So the red bird was distinguished from other red birds as the cardinal. Now, outfitted with such a lofty name and a flashy beak and plumage, the cardinal became a beloved symbol, especially for those of us in the U.S. in northern climes. Unlike many of their cousins, cardinals don't migrate. They stay put for the winter. Maybe they know that the snow is a striking stage where they can be the star of the show, especially when so many lesser players have gone south. Somewhere along the way, too, we humans decided that cardinals, the bird, had spiritual lessons to offer, quite separate from any church. A few years ago, I was visiting my Aunt Miriam, who was well past the age of noticing birds and fully into tracking each and every one in her various bird feeders. She was telling me about the latest ornithological tomfoolery above her front porch when suddenly she spotted a cardinal sitting on a nearby fence. She got a little teary for a second, and I asked why. "When cardinals appear, angels are near," she said. Miriam has known some cruel losses in her life, and this day, the cardinal gave her a flash of the presence of her daughter and grandson, who died tragically and far too young in a car accident more than 20 years before. After a pause for a solemn hug, we continued our visit, talking about her neighbors and what was up with various family members. But that moment, its palpable connection for her, the cardinal, her loved ones, our loved ones, stayed with me. I hadn't heard that expression, when a cardinal is near, an angel appears. Didn't know about that connection with cardinals. And once I did, I discovered that many, many people were already in on this cardinal afterlife connection. Where had I been? If this is the first you're hearing of it, welcome aboard. It's a fun thing to suddenly know. What has been most interesting to me, is that this connection with cardinals is something my most unsupernaturally inclined friends and acquaintances seem to believe in. If you ask out of the context of seeing a cardinal if these folks believe in the afterlife, they would say, absolutely not. Okay, how about angels? What are you even talking about, they would say. But ask who was visiting them when they saw that cardinal over there, and they would have an answer in a heartbeat. I'm not all the way there yet myself, but it does make sense to me that this bright flash of color that can be spotted all year round invites us to a different kind of attention. The very kind of attention that makes us stop in our tracks and tap into something far beyond our conscious awareness. In this season, so many of us feel the very real ache of the absence of loved ones. The ache that also testifies to a connection that's unbroken. The sacred thread of love that doesn't go away even as our bodies, our memories, and our days fade. It's a poignant season amidst all the merriment and the hubbub. The word Advent comes from the Latin for coming, but the Latin is a translation of the Greek word parousia, whose meaning is actually a little bit different. Parousia is personal presence. In early Christianity, a sense of personal presence could be understood as the arrival in a person of a special presence, a holiness of their being. The emerging theology that made Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, and later God himself made parousia refer to that second coming of Jesus. But the original word had a broader definition and application to that presence of the sacred in each and every person. So we have Advent calendars with pieces of chocolate or jars of jam or little figurines to mark the time between here and Christmas, our candles in worship, countdowns of the remaining shopping days, as if a day was actually what we're waiting for. But what we're really preparing for in this season is a peace that doesn't come in a certain hour or a certain day at all. It's the peace of that sacred presence in and with each and every one of us. As Maya Angelou so aptly describes it, not just the absence of war, but true peace, a harmony of spirit, a comfort of courtesies, security for our beloveds and their beloveds. We clap hands and we welcome the peace of Christmas. We beckon the good season to wait a while with us. We, Baptist and Buddhist, Methodist and Muslim, say, come, peace. Come and fill us and our world with your majesty. We, the Jew and the Jainist, the Catholic and the Confucian, implore you to stay a while with us, so we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. So my friends, embossed on a linen card somewhere between eternity and now, each of our names is spelled in the finest calligraphy, an invitation to peace. It beckons us to look inside for the seed of that sacred presence, whose roots at their depth connect us with each other. That is what the cardinal calls us to attend. The message is love, the pathway is peace. It connects us with all beings across space and time, but especially those we love, those who have loved us. Does it seem possible, given all this strife in the world, all the pressures we juggle, all the uncertainties and the atrocities that keep us anxious? My friends, it is the season of impossible things coming to birth. Peace is not escape from the demands or expectations of life. It's an embrace of life that finds sacred meaning right in the midst of it all. It's the pause while cleaning the kitchen to reflect on the joy of the meal that was just shared. It's the cuddle time with a loved one after a long day or weeks apart. It's Christmas carols sung loudly and off-key in the car or in the shower or in the sanctuary. That never happens with our choir, though. It's the memories and presence of loved ones lost that remind us of who we are by holding us in that love that never, ever ends. It's remembering to honor the holy right here with us, wherever here might be. As our nights get longer, we mark off the weeks and light candles for hope, peace, joy, and love. We wait for their presence with us, but it's not a passive waiting. We wait with a sense of attending, paying attention to the ways they are within us already. Not waiting like the doctor's office where you scroll through your smartphone or flip through a People magazine until your name is called. It's an intentional offering of full presence with what's happening within us and around us. We can have ourselves distracted by the sense of urgency and busyness and noise in this season, or we can let it be a source of connection. The invitation is to ask ourselves in each moment, where is love? Where is truth? Where is light? Where is hope? Jan Richardson offers us this poem, A Blessing to Begin Advent. It's difficult to see it from here, I know, but trust me when I say this blessing is inscribed on the horizon, is written in that far point you can hardly see, is etched into the landscape whose contours you cannot know from here. All you know is that it calls you, draws you, pulls you toward what you have perceived only in pieces, in fragments that came to you in dreaming or in prayer. I cannot account for how, as you draw near, the blessing embedded on that horizon begins to blossom upon the soles of your feet, shimmers in your two hands. It is one of the mysteries of the road, how the blessing that you have traveled toward, waited for, ached for, suddenly appears as if it had been with you all this time, as if it simply needed to know how far you were willing to walk to find the lines that were traced upon you before the day that you were born. The blessing, the peace of this season has been written upon each of us since before we were born. It is ours to tune into that holy spark and let it connect us. It lets us see the attempts at love behind someone's abrasive exterior. It helps us bear witness to the truth on all sides of a conflict and build new truth in healing. It holds out the hope of new life in a world transformed by mercy, by justice, by faith. That sacred presence doesn't arrive on Christmas Day. The fact is that it has never left us. It helps us to hold on for all that is not yet by being right here. So let us let ourselves not get wrapped up in the presence at the expense of deeper presence. If we had enough cups of tea in quiet houses for people around the globe, we may just find a way to welcome the holy spark that makes peace possible. You may find yourself gritting your teeth through the holidays with a heart that feels like the Grinch's, two sizes too small. And a quiet house and a cup of tea may not be in the cards for you anytime soon. Or you may find yourself in giddy anticipation of Christmas that sends you into a joyful frenzy that's indeed the holy spark in you. You might vacillate between those things or find yourself somewhere in the middle. Wherever you are, let's make it a practice to pause in the midst of it, offer our full attention to where hope might be stirring in our world, or truth, or love, or light. Feel the stirring of those seeds opening, those lines written deep within you, the blossoms coming up from the soles of your feet and out from your shimmering hands. The blessing embedded on the horizon is ours to hold, ours to see, and ours to live if we will listen. Let us listen so that we might be moved to do the next right thing in service of justice, of compassion, of beauty. Amen. My friends, love is the spirit of this church, and love is deep within you, nestled deep in your bones. Hold it close, carry it. Let that presence of the deepest holiness guide you forth through this busy time to find joy, hope, peace, faith, and love. Let us keep this faith and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Amen.
We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.